back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Up with the sun, gone with the wind. She always said I was lazy. Leaving my home, leaving my friends, running when things get too crazy. Out to the road, out beneath the stars, feeling the breeze, passing the cars. Women have come, women have gone, everyone trying to cage me. Yeah. Some were so sweet, I barely got free. Others, they only enraged me. Sometimes at night, I see their faces. I feel the traces they've left on my soul. And those are the memories that make me a wealthy soul. I tell you, those are the memories that make me a wealthy soul. Traveling man, love when I can.
All right. Third hour. Now, I had an epiphany during the break. I just realized something. I am 6 years old. I'm a girl, and I am Somali. So I'm a 6-year-old black Somali girl. I just want the audience to know that that's what I identify as now. So I'm a transgender, I'm transracial, and I'm trans age all at the same time. I guess I can move to LA and get a free condo on Maxine Waters. No, I mean, now being black is a disability. This is the angle that the Marxists this is what's so funny. All these black Marxists work at Jesuit universities. Michael Eric Dyson over there at Georgetown, this Kimani Paul Emile over at Fordham. Don't you see this? You know, you look at basically left wing Jewry, Chuck Schumer, and all the rest of them, but then you've got a whole left wing Marxist Catholicism run by the Jesuits, and it's irrefutable. You just can't argue with it. They've got the whole swath over there too, you know, and this goes back to Moses Hess, Rome and Jerusalem. Let me read this real quick. Bruno Bauer, okay, liberal theologian, and he's the one who basically destroyed the Christian faith of Friedrich Engels, who then latched on with Marx, and these two wrote the Communist Manifesto together. All right. So Bauer wrote to his friend Arnold Ruge, also a friend of Marx and Engels, on December 6, 1841. I deliver lectures here at the university before a large audience. I don't recognize myself when I pronounce my blasphemies from the pulpit. They're so great that these children, whom nobody should offend, have their hair standing on end. While delivering the blasphemies, I remember how I worked piously at home writing an apology of the Holy Scriptures and of the Revelation. In any case, it is a very bad demon that possesses me as often as I ascend the pulpit, and I am so weak that I am compelled to yield to him. My spirit of blasphemy will be satisfied only if I am authorized to preach openly as professor of the atheistic system. The man who convinced him to become a communist was the same Moses Hess who had previously convinced Marx. Hess wrote after meeting Engels in Cologne, "He parted from me as an overzealous communist. This is how I produce ravages." To produce ravages, was this Hess's supreme purpose in life? And then you get into this. This guy's one of the fathers of basically Jewish nationalism and Zionism. I mean, it's just fascinating. Ken, do we have Sean? He said he was going to call in. All right. But anyway, it's just fascinating. Yeah, go ahead and plug him in. All right. Hey, welcome, Sean.
Hey, how you going there, Rob?
Good.
Well,
so this is Sean. This is Sean from TCTA Unleashed, 107.9 in Australia, WTFR. Go ahead.
Yeah, great show, sir, as per usual. I just wanted to call in very quickly, I'll make it quick, with what it comes down to with this NAMBLA group, the National Man-Boy Love Association. It's absolutely disgusting. And
North American Man-Boy Love Association, yeah.
That's the one. A lot of people don't realize it exists because it sounds so surreal at first. You go, what? You know, you have to tilt your head sideways and look at a person as if they've got three heads when they say that to you, but that this actually exists. And it's great that you're touching on this. Just last night, the mother of my children called me up and said that there's been somebody caressing my daughter online on a kid's game, a child's game. And what happens is... there's a game called Minecraft, and of course they've got these servers where kids can go over there and they can use these building blocks to build houses and castles or whatever they want. It's only limited to your imagination. Now, what a lot of parents don't realise is that you do actually get sexual predators that have come into these servers. Now, they say that administration keep an eye out for these sexual predators, but they're obviously not doing a very good job. There's a person that's posing as a 14-year-old boy to my 12-year-old daughter, and of course, he is caressing her in a way to make her attracted to him, and it was becoming successful, of course, until we found out about it. So we've had to ban both my kids from actually jumping online. Now, one day, with what you've just been saying, this is really important, because one day what's going to happen is it's going to become a normality. What they'll say is, well, hold on a second, Sean. He's a trans age, so you can't blame him. That's just... It's sort of like what they're doing over here in Australia at the moment in some of the magazines. They're saying that pedophilia is not pedophilia, it's a pedosexuality. They're trying to make it look like a sexuality preference rather than what it is, a perversion. And this is the same thing with this trans age thing. What they're trying to do is basically say... You know, one day I'll be able to knock on this guy's door and say, hey, dude, get out here. You know, I'm going to drag you out in the street and give you a bit of a hiding for trying to lure my daughter. And I guarantee you he'll probably be a 50 or 60-year-old because he actually said that he's only 4 hours away. He can come and meet her. What sort of a 14-year-old will say, okay, yeah, I'm going to come out your way and meet you? Of course, his parents would have to stand in on that. But literally what will happen is one day you'll drag someone out the street. You beat the lights out of them because they tried to lure your 12-year-old daughter to do God knows what, or maybe even rape her and then kill her. But you drag him out while he's doing the luring, and you beat the snot out of him, and then all of a sudden the cops pick you up. You're the criminal. Yep, absolutely. And then you go to court, and they say, hold on a second, he's trans age. He's transsexual. You know, whatever he may be, all of this list of things, and you're the criminal now. You know, isn't it the proverbial? You stab the robber that comes into your house, and you're charged for a stabbing.
Well, hey, Sean, I mean, we've got some wacko judges here in this. I read this stuff years ago, where a guy breaks into a person's house, steals their TV. He hurts their back because the TV. He hurts his back because the TV was heavy, and he sues the homeowner rapper is hurt back, and in some wacko communist libtard jurisdiction, the actual assailant won damages against the homeowner because he hurt his back stealing the homeowner's TV.
That's just unbelievable. That is just I don't know. Seriously, this I don't know.
But Sean, this is. Yeah, this is communism, though. See, this is how you demoralize a host population by letting. See, they, you know, this is, and this is why I always say you got to look layers down here, because see, what they do is they do things against logic itself. It's like learning against learning. Is when you read these Jesuit researchers who are basically a cabal of crypto Jews inside the Jesuits running the whole damn thing. It's learning against learning. It's basically setting logic and reason on its head in order to cause an eventual reaction. And this is either people are going to go into full fetal position and let this, like Justin Trudeau's Canada up there, they're going to go into full fetal position.
Absolutely.
let this happen, or there's going to be a pendulum swing, and the swing is going to be so swift and severe and hardcore that, guess what, it's, I don't think anybody's going to be able to control it, and then there's going to be some ugliness when that happens. And that's the real conundrum we're in.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, sir. And I'm, you know, a lot of people do live by the idea that this is all set in motion through gradualism. And there's a big a portion of what's going on that is set in motion via gradualism. But there's also that shock value that you're talking about, where they slap you upside the head with the total opposite, and you're left in such shock that you just sort of sit back in your seat, almost in a retired fashion, and say, I don't know how to deal with this, and you just go into this mush value. My brain goes into mush, and you just accept whatever they throw at you from then on. This is scary stuff, dude. I mean, you know, NAMBLA becoming a normality, over here them calling it pedosexuality instead of pedophilia, this trans age, you and I, we're not exactly the same age. I'm only around, I think, 10 years younger than you. But you and I, growing up, we never thought it would get to this. And it scares the absolute daylights out of me to think that one day I might be defending myself in court for harming somebody, possibly even doing the nastiest thing I could do to them, like, you know, because you're going to look after your kids the best way you can. And if somebody's crawling through your son or daughter's window, you're going to do what it takes to make perfectly sure they don't get through that window, and one day I could be defending myself in court for murder. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Michael Elner, you know? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, well, I have that fear as well that, you know, there's certain people in my life to where if some creep did something to them, you know, you read these stories on various websites about these animals basically raping 90 something year old women and so forth. I mean, how you could even get erect as a man raping a 90 something year old woman. There's
something wrong with you. You know?
I think it's a spiritual, like some sort of evil, spiritual, weird kind of psycho defect there, and of course I, you know, hey, look, I, if somebody did that to my mother, you don't think I would grab an AK and light that person up with a whole lot of rounds? You've got a mistake there, and then I'm taken out of the equation basically, probably for the rest of my natural life. I'll be sitting behind bars somewhere, and see, this is what they want. They're willing to sacrifice the idiot to do all this evil in order to lock certain numbers of us all up behind penal institutions, and then therefore we're out of the game when it comes to when this whole thing goes live, and that's a whole nother thing you have to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, especially people like you and I and all of your RBN audience, because they know that we're speaking out about this sort of stuff. They know that people are listening in. That scares the pants off them, because we're rebelling against the corruption. It's not that we... See, a lot of people used to say to me, oh, so you're just a rebel, you just rebel against everything. No, I don't rebel against everything. I'm all for a government that works for the people, but I'm not for a government or a mainstream media that comes out of that government that basically puts across to us that we're somehow criminal for defending our families. How anybody in their right mind, and I say their right mind, quote-unquote, can think that defence of your family, whether it be with a firearm or what we're left to over here in Australia, I'll bring up the old apple corer, you know, and I'll put it through their eyeball if they go near my son or my daughter. How anybody in their right mind thinks that defence of the family unit is a bad thing, I'll never understand. How did we get to this point where we see that as a bad thing? We must be majorly fluoridated.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a multi-level attack platform where it is fluoridated, but it also has to do with wavelengths, frequencies. It has to do with cultural rot, spiritual rot. You say what you want to about churchianity and so forth and so on. It still instilled a certain set of values in men to where the tolerance level for a lot of this evil, it wouldn't happen. So a lot of these people that want to trash the church and Christianity, then there's a whole other swath of these alternative media researchers that sit there and brag about how they went through the whole Bible and the concordances and they know it all, and government itself is mind control and the whole thing's bogus, and they're basically pushing anarchy as alternative media people, and full blown basically don't participate in the system at all because the entire system's a wreck and the entire system's organized crime and blah blah blah. And these are the people that want to take their ball and go home, and they don't want to stand in the gap. They don't believe in police at all. They don't believe in anything. And so we have to realize there's a whole lot of people that want to throw the entire baby out with the bathwater, because yes, I know this is a fake system. I know that the 14th Amendment and all the things that have happened to my country are screwy, and I know that there's been people throughout especially the last 100 years that have really tried to screw this nation up. But at the same time, people want it to be like black or white, and it's just like, look, there's a whole lot of, you know, decent people here that are caught up in this system that really don't know what all of us know. And for these people out here to just make these blanket statements like, everything's corrupt, I'm not going to occupy anything, and I curse the entire system, and I don't want to have anything to do with it because I'm holier than thou. And those are the type of people that are going to let this thing get completely, all of us run roughshod over, and you're going to see us all thrown in gulags and the whole nine yards.
Well, you know, as you know, Rob, you know me personally, compared to most that are listening to you right now.
Yeah.
I'm not a churchy type person. I'm not religious, and I think that good moral value still has come from a part of Christianity. I'm not going to say that all of Christianity is a bad thing. I mean, you know yourself that you've come through the trials, and there's been some bad stuff that went on in Christianity. But I will say this, that when I look at Australia, Australia was founded on Christian values, good moral values. In fact, it was based on the Ten Commandments. When we started as a penal colony. So I do understand what you're saying there, but what I will say is, to bolster what you've just discussed, is that it's almost like an extreme form of paganism where they seem to think that running rampant like a pack of barbarians will be the answer, and that just couldn't be further from the truth. You're absolutely right in what you say when it comes to not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, my next-door neighbour and I, just today, we're having a good philosophical talk about all kinds of things, and we don't agree on absolutely everything, but one thing we do come to know is that there is good moral value to be sent throughout white Western civilization, and there's no doubt about it. We've got to take it back, because otherwise that's what it's going to be. It's going to be this extreme form of pagan
anarcho-libertarianism to the point where it's like you'll have there'll be no order at all. I mean, look, the order right now is run by a bunch of evil bastards, but at the same time, I don't want to go from that to a Mad Max Road Warrior scenario where it's going to be warlords and the rest of it. There has to be some sort of a middle ground here to where we can transition from, okay, this false, you know, UCC bar lawyer driven deceive everybody with words system that we're in to basically bring it to a place where there is still somebody's going to help you if somebody breaks in your house when you're not there and kills one of your loved ones and is still going to go find who did it and so forth and so on. Some of these people are like, oh, they want to get rid of all cops. And I'm like, okay, when you go to work or you go to try to find some gainful way to feed your family and then somebody breaks in and then shoots them all in the head, you're going to want some help finding out who did it. And so these are the same people that you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody breaks in their house and they're calling 911, but they lash out at the pigs all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and they don't just lash out at the pigs. What they don't realize is when they're lashing out at the pigs, they're also lashing out at forensics that help us find murderers, that help us get justice for the loss of our families, especially in the day and age we're living in now. You know it firsthand with where you're living, where I used to live. I knew it firsthand. If you don't have the police to be able to turn up with a gun and help you out, even if you have the Second Amendment, if you don't have forensics to work this stuff out, well, then there's going to be no justice. There's going to be no justice taken, plain and simply.
Yeah. Well, look, we're already put the United States with all these crazy Antifa movements and resist and all the weird stuff, and they're already pushing us to the edges of civilization now. I mean, Britain with all the Pakistanis and all the idiots there, Germany and Sweden. I mean, police stations being
fired. Same thing going on over here in the cities.
Yeah,
same sort of thing going on over here in the cities. Like, we've got the Apex gangs, we've got the Somalian gangs that are literally running rampant in the street. A lot of the Chinese over here, because we're literally taken over by Chinese over here, they can have stalls out in the city streets, and what happens is these Somalian gangs just walk past, steal all the stuff off their stalls, whatever they want, and then they just walk away because they know that the police just don't have the power to get out there quick enough to stop them.
I'll tell you what. If the Chinese get pushed to the wall, holy cow, with the Chinese government and everything, and if the numbers are significant enough, these Somalis and the rest of them, they're gonna have a strange awakening when these Chinese lash out at them.
You know, you can just take a look at the gangs that we have over here, the Chinese gangs, and if you keep tickling their fancy, so to speak, then you watch what happens. They're playing with fire with that. But the fact remains is that we've got all these different gangs over here. It's not just happening in Germany and America and Switzerland and France. I mean, I never thought it would take place in Switzerland. Germany, I mean, it was since Cologne. It's just been a shock to me. This is out of control, Rob. We're in a lot of trouble. And our governments and our mainstream media are just allowing it to happen. For me, it hit home when the mother of my children just called last night and said, "Sean, what should we do here?" And I said, "All right, this is what we need to do." And I've got a plan in motion at the moment to deal with this this so-called 14-year-old. It's nothing illegal, per se, but we'll have it dealt with. When it comes to your own backyard, you know, that's when it hits home.
Yeah. So did you ever see any of the Dateline stuff here in the United States of To Catch a Predator, where you had all these creeps posing as basically young boys and so forth, and basically sneaking, where Dateline NBC had secret cameras set up, and you had all these creeps, rabbis, military guys, just all around creeps that were sneaking into these houses thinking they were going to meet up with like a 12, 13-year-old girl, and then the guy from the the news program would step out and be like, what are you doing? Did you see any of that?
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
that stuff was classic.
It was great. It's on YouTube. It was great. Yeah. And they also, there's a motorcycle gang, and I continuously forget their name. I've reported on them over there in the States and back here in Australia. They're actually a United States motorcycle gang, I think, also. They're not just here in Australia. They've got two wings, as far as I know, where what they do is they actually pay a visit to an unfortunate young child victim that has been molested or something like that. They knock on the door, and there was a little tiny girl that came out. She looked a little bit shy, and she's under her mother's wing. And the mother introduces her to this biker gang that turn up, which is quite intimidating for anybody, let alone a young child. But then they have the leader of the biker gang come over and take her little hand and say, you know what? No one will hurt you again, because if they ever tried, we will be here to look after you. And this is a biker gang that doesn't mess around.
Bikers against trafficking. Yeah, bikers against trafficking.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do a fantastic job in making these little children feel secure again, because that's one of the biggest problems we've had for a long time, is not just the victimization, but also, not just the event of at the time of victimization, but also making them feel like they're safe again afterwards, because a lot of these kids go through the rest of their lives feeling very vulnerable. I know it firsthand, because I've discussed it time and time again. Almost my entire family was molested by my father. And to this day, they still have flashbacks. My sister will just cry randomly. So the biggest problem we face is making them feel at ease. So when you have this biker gang, out of all things, come along and say, guess what? You will never have to fear anybody again, because we are going to be your protectors. I think there's nothing more fantastic.
The whole thing with Vets for Child Rescue here, Craig Sawyer, the big Navy SEAL guy, and he's on Jones' program from time to time. But there's a lot of special forces type guys that are getting involved with this whole anti-human trafficking, anti-pedophilia movement. And so, you know, the days are coming, and I hope very soon that these creeps, and you're never going to get rid of them, but they need to be beat back into a point where they're not going to play this trans age stuff. I mean, these are just ploys for these people. They sit around and think. They sit around and think of perverted ways to get at the nation's children. You know, I was watching these preachers way back in the 90s, and they were reading these militant homosexual quotes. We will sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, so forth and so on. We'll get them in the locker rooms, blah, blah, blah. And this was before, like, the Sandusky stuff broke and all the things that it broke. This was like 20-something years ago. These creeps in the gay so-called community were talking about, you know, gays have to keep feeding on younger and younger men to perpetuate their kind. Most of them don't reproduce. And so, very sick, sick world. There's cracks in the dam, and there's good things happening as well as evil. But I like to keep up on the weird stuff, because, you know, people need to be aware that these are the tactics that the pedo crowd is using. Hey, I'm a black 6-year-old little girl. So see, I'm like Rachel Dolezal, this broad that was posing as a black woman, even sitting in an NAACP position, and she's white. I mean, this is how screwed up people's minds are, to where a white woman would sit there and be like, oh, I identify as black, and so now I'm going to be on the NAACP and act like, you know, that I'm something that I'm not. I mean, people, the mind control is heavy to where people feel that kind of pressure to prove, you know, like a woman to... Yeah. But there's other people that are using this as a tactic so they can perpetuate their perversity.
Absolutely.
All right, Sean, thanks for calling, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for taking my call. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
All right, buddy. See you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Incendiary Radio, last half hour of the program coming at you. Now, I just had another epiphany during the break. I am 18 years old. I'm black. I'm a woman. Okay, so I'm transracial. I am transgendered. I'm trans age. and I just realized I'm a lesbian. Okay. So I'm a black female 18-year-old lesbian. And that's where I am now. Okay. Just getting that straight with you guys. Now, Ken, RoboCop. Remember the movie? I remember I went to the theater when the original RoboCop with Peter Weller, I think his name was. And these people are doing this all according to a script. Ken, roll clip 6.
They say robots will soon be punishing humans as Ford files a patent for robotic police cars. Could this be the start or the advent of RoboCop? Interestingly enough, in October of last year, the network of autonomous police vehicles being deployed in Dubai included hover bikes and fleets of mini police surveillance vehicles that look like electric cars. The vehicles are part of a citywide initiative of embedding AI, artificial intelligence, to patrol with biometric and conventional surveillance tools. Now, at the time that these measures were really easy to dismiss by people who heard this story, accustomed to a constitutional republic, since Dubai is ruled by an absolute monarchy under Sharia law that has free reign to rapidly implement new forms of governments. Let me stop there. Dubai is actually one of the more lenient countries in the Middle East, the United Arab Emirates. It is where, say, people from Saudi Arabia and other countries where Sharia law is much more strictly enforced, they actually go there to drink, to go on holiday, or to gamble. There's casinos over there. There's all sorts of things to do in Dubai. As a matter of fact, if you ever get a chance, I would highly recommend going to visit, because Dubai is an absolutely beautiful city.
All right, you can stop it there. Yeah, well, I was in Dubai probably in 19, I want to say, end of 91, maybe at the end of 92. I can't even remember. This was before it was built up the way it is now, and a very weird place. It was going through transition, and all you saw was cranes and buildings going up. I spent I don't know, a few weeks there. My ship was in dry dock, and so I tell you what, weird smells. Those Arab countries are just weird, and the whole dark spirit of Islam over the country. It's just goofy, man. It's like you're on a whole nother planet. It's just the habits, the way people live. I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody, especially a woman. Not that I didn't have a good time or whatever, but it's just I felt, you know, as a person, like I felt this weird spirit over the place. And those of you that have spent time in Islamic lands, you'll know what I'm talking about. You know, it's just there's something there that just doesn't rub you right. let's see here. This is kind of interesting. Ken's clip 7. An 8.5-mile pyramid. Okay, there's all kinds. Look, L.A. Marzulli, Steve Quayle, Timothy Alberino, Dr. Tom Horn. It's like, you know, where it talks about at the time of the end, knowledge shall be increased. We're seeing basically, in my opinion, I'm not pushing my opinion on you, but what I'm seeing here, the elongated skulls, all the weird stuff in South America, Lake Titicaca, all this stuff that the discoveries, man, it's like exploding. And Ken saying, I'm not looking forward to the giants, but there's all this research, man, that it's just like, and the last few years has just boomed. And there's a lot of people that try to poo-poo it and, oh, it's all bogus, blah, blah, blah. Hey, go ahead. That's on you. I'm not, you do your thing and me and mine will do ours. But the discoveries here in Guatemala and then in all parts of South America, but then this one's off the coast of Mexico. Let's roll 7.
Going to the Express in the UK, they ask, has Atlantis been found? Because an 8.5-mile pyramid has been discovered at the bottom of the ocean. And they ask a question. Could this bizarre object, described as a giant ancient pyramid, and found at the bottom of the sea be a clue to the site of the mythological city of Atlantis. Let me stop there for a second and talk about Atlantis a little bit, because I think it's kind of important.
All right, stop it there. And Ken, go to clip four, and let's get this one ready. I mean, just watching this as a Bible prophecy type of person that gets into that stuff, watching the explosion is fascinating. And people were even, you know, back in the 90s, really starting to dig, you know, the magazine BAR, Biblical Archaeology Review, and all this stuff. And then you got all these people that try to say poo-poo it and say none of it ever happened, it's all bogus. And then other people say, hey, the location of some of these biblical monuments is actually different than what we presently think today. And I get all that. Very, very neat to look at it all, though. Clip four, let's roll that one.
Of archaeologists making these big finds in the Guatemalan jungle in terms of the ancient Mayan civilization. Now, what they're saying here is that they have uncovered 60,000 previously unknown Mayan structures that are deep within the jungles down here. Here recently, I was talking about just this. These areas and ancient findings that are still there, yet to be found by man. Now, it doesn't help when the Smithsonian and other agencies come through, find things, and keep them hidden forever. So really, I think some of the independent finds out the gate that are shared with the public, so people actually know that something was found without that person getting in trouble, that way versus some cats from the Smithsonian on the ground themselves finding something, they may never say anything to anyone. It may never even make a headline.
All right, you can stop it there. Now, Timothy Alberino, who works for Steve Quayle, Gen 6 Productions, he's ran into a lot of, let's just say, and I'll just use the nice term, interference with Vatican heavyweights down there looking around in South America. And so there's elements, we all know that elements in certain governments and elements in Rome, they've always tried to suppress certain, let's just say, knowledge to the public. Now, Tom Horn and those guys were at the Lucifer Telescope out there at Mount Graham in Arizona, and they were given access, you know, with the book Exo Vaticana and Petrus Romanus and all that. They predicted that Ratzinger was going to step down, Chris Putnam and Tom Horn. You know, I don't know about Tom Horn, Skywatch TV. It's an interesting organization, and I own a lot of Tom Horn's books. You know, you got to wonder about some of these folks and where their bread is buttered. Let's just put it that way. And let's move on. Now, Ken, get clip five ready. This is a weird one, and I just stumbled across this one thanks to Dabu7, who keeps up on a lot of interesting and weird stuff. This is called something about a token rings. Let's play five.
Convenience these days comes at a price. And even though some of these gadgets look nice, they look to optimize things in your lifestyle. They look to make things easier, quicker, more functional, more seamless, so to speak, when going through all your daily activities. This token ring, for those of you that have not heard about it is a ring that is made of sterling silver. It's available in 7 sizes, and it allows you to pretty much do anything and everything in terms of opening things, signing into things. It has a scanner or a sensor that will read your fingerprint. As soon as it realizes that it's you, you can slide this thing on, and it will unlock just about anything and everything you program into it, including Visa, MasterCard. They actually, people that work for them make comments on this ring here at their site on where they think this is going. They said you could use this at 90 million different places worldwide. It also shows this video where they're knocking on a door with the ring on the car door, and it unlocks it. They do the same thing, and it locks it. The front door to their house, they just put their hand up in front of this little thing, it opens it. The light at the street intersection, it picks it up and makes it change to where you can walk across. It does all these different things that you know, we've seen this before.
All right, you can stop it. I mean, the creepiness of this Internet of Things is getting off the charts, and it's almost like, yeah, they're triggering all of us that know about, you know, the prophecies and so forth. And like I've said numerous times, these evil controllers, they're using the prophecies as a tool to mind screw people, to make people fearful, to make people feel helpless. There's all kinds of different little birds being killed here with one stone here. So it's like this playbook, the use of this as a playbook to really get people to think, oh my gosh, you know, and it almost seems like it's like an invincibility, like you can't fight against it. It's coming at you so many ways: nano, genetic, robotic, AI, the whole thing. It's like they want to make you just feel like you can't fight it. Okay, now Ken, clip 11. Let's get this one ready. Russian jet shot down. Very alarming by some of our little friendly rebels who we supposedly never gave any kind of missile technology to shoot down jets. Let's roll 11.
We have breaking news coming out of Syria as a Russian warplane was shot down in the Idlib province of northwest Syria. The Russian Defense Ministry confirmed the Su-25 was shot down and said the pilot safely ejected but was killed fighting, quote, terrorists. According to reports, the area is mainly controlled by U.S.-backed forces. An Al-Qaeda-linked group has claimed responsibility for shooting down the Russian aircraft using the shoulder-fired surface-to-air missile system called MANPADS. Russia quickly responded with airstrikes in the area, reportedly killing 30 militants. An Al-Qaeda-affiliated news agency quoted a militant commander from the group claiming responsibility for downing the Russian jet as saying, quote, the anti-aircraft weapons were sent to Al-Qaeda's fighters in the Sawarkab area after airstrikes intensified this week. He warned that Russian airplanes will not pass through Syrian airspace without, quote, paying a price. So this terrorist commander is quoted in the news saying they just received these anti-aircraft missiles this week. I'd like to point out that in 2015, Senator John McCain appeared on Fox News saying the U.S. should start providing anti-aircraft weapons to anti-Assad forces to start shooting down Russian planes.
Senator, if you were president in the middle of all of this, and you know, or you're charging as you did just now, and I assume you know more than I do, that the Russian fighters are targeting the very groups we are trying to help, would you shoot down those Russian planes?
No, but I would certainly make it clear. I would do a whole lot of things. General David Petraeus testified before the Armed Services Committee 2 weeks ago. He laid out what we need to do. We need to stop the barrel bombing. We need to have a no-fly zone. We need to have a buffer zone for refugees. We need to provide
certain
kinds of
help. No, I know that, Senator, but if they're attacking the very guys who we want
to stop it, McStain, real turd in the punch bowl. I mean, I don't see how these guys, when they know that they got to meet their maker real quickly, that they're going to still do all this evil in the world. But you know what? I guess you become so psychopathic and so freaking full of evil that it's just like, yeah, I guess it's one of the last things that on the planet that gets your rocks off. I mean, one of these old creeps. Let's see here. There's this lady running against the Republican, the sitting Republican governor for the Republican nomination to go ahead and run against the Democrat, this J.B. Pritzker type who's been busted on recordings, basically politicking for, you know, attorney general type of seats. I mean, it's just Illinois politics is hilarious. This fat guy, J.B. Pritzker, and you can just watch the FBI tapes on him. But this lady listen to this clip. It's like a minute long. And she like goes off on Antifa, teachers unions. I mean, it's really good. Women that want the government to pay for abortions. So let's listen to this one. Go ahead and play, Ken, if you get 26 ready. And I don't have her name right in front of me. Let me see if I can find it real quick. But it's well, it's called Thank You, Bruce Rauner. Okay, and I don't have her name in front of me, but it's the lady running against Bruce Rauner. Let's roll 26.
Stay tuned for a special message.
We want to say thank you.
Thank you, Bruce Rauner.
Thank you for signing legislation that lets me use the girls' bathroom.
Thank you for making all Illinois families pay for my abortions.
Thank you, Bruce Rauner, for opposing law enforcement and making Illinois a sanctuary state for illegal immigrant criminals.
Thank you, Bruce Rauner, for the taxpayer bailout of Exelon with the largest electricity rate hike in U.S. history.
Thank you for making the rest of Illinois bail out Chicago teacher pensions, and for giving Rahm everything he wanted, and more.
Thank you, Bruce Rauner, for not being in charge, leaving Mike Madigan in charge.
I am not in charge. I'm trying to get to be in charge.
Thank you for being the worst Republican governor in the country.
Rauner caved on all 44 points he promised in the campaign. Even the call for a tax cut became a state record for a tax increase.
Thank you for betraying Illinois Republicans.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you can stop it there. That's pretty hilarious. But this lady's being thrown under the bus as a racist and a transphobic and all this other crap because of that ad. So it's pretty funny. Let's see here. Let's do this one, Ken. Let's get 19 ready. This is David Seaman. He did a couple hour interviews with Robert David Steele. And I want to have a little fun with David Seaman and Robert David Steele here with the few minutes we have left. Let's roll 19.
Hey, friends. Already getting a lot of pushback on the interview with former CIA officer Robert David Steele. Already tons of trolls attacking us. That interview is not going down, pro-pedophile trolls. It's not going down no matter what. So deal with it. So I've interviewed Robert David Steele before. He's been interviewed numerous times on InfoWars, Alex Jones's show. Robert David Steele is a former CIA officer. He has written and published some big books on intelligence. One of his books on intelligence gathering was even reviewed by the CIA's. It was reviewed by the CIA's in-house publication, and they don't typically review books that are not written by outsiders. They only review their own employees' stuff. Obviously, former CIA, nobody disputes that. Now, a bunch of trolls are saying, why do you have this guy on? He believes in child slaves on Mars. Robert David Steele does not believe in child slaves on Mars, right? That's just something that was taken out of context because the trolls, they can't let truth tellers get to you, right? They can't let you actually trust the truth teller. They've got to blast them out of the water preemptively. He doesn't believe in that. He's simply aware, as a guy who's former CIA, former deep state, essentially, he's aware of how depraved the military-industrial complex has been in the past when it comes to experimentation on children. And that's 100% true. If you want to put your head in the sand, that's absolutely fine. But here at Fulcrum, we don't put our heads in the sand. We just move forward aggressively and truthfully. So I just want to show you guys, you know, we do all this for you. And
okay,
that interview,
stop it there. Now, of course, he was adamant about Robert David Steele not believing blah, blah, blah about slave colonies on Mars. Ken, the next clip, this was when Robert David Steele basically, I would say, attempted to sabotage Jones on the air. Let's roll 20.
This may strike your listeners as way out, but we actually believe that there is a colony on Mars that is populated by children who were kidnapped and sent into space on a 20-year ride, so that once they get to Mars, they have no alternative but to be slaves on the Mars colony. There's all kinds of.
Look, I know 90% of the NASA missions are secret, and I've been told by high level NASA engineers that you have no idea. There's so much stuff going on, but then it goes off into all that. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing the media jumps on. But I know this. Yeah. We see a bunch of.
You can stop it there. See, Jones knew immediately that's the type of thing the media jumps on. And he got skewered over that. And they actually tried to transpose that into Alex saying it. So to defend Jones there, Steele did go on Alex Jones and say that. So David Seaman was being disingenuous. Where whether Steele believes it or not, who cares? He went on a pretty big show, Alex Jones, and he said the crap, and so is what it is. Ken, let's roll clip 12 when you get it up. This is a plain truth, and this kind of throws together some of the crap that we're facing right now. It's kind of a nice tie together a bunch of stuff. Let's roll clip 12.
Hey folks, welcome to another video from A Plain Truth. I'm getting into ISIS today, the feminine divine, nurture nature, and why they're making a big stink about destroying ISIS. In alchemy, ISIS is the moon, the silver principle, magnetism, attraction. It's also the life bearer. I'm also going to get into how Rome, Maryland, which was now Washington, D.C., was set up for destruction by the Jesuits as we get into this more. But the principles behind it all is based on the ISIS principle. And here you can see Israel is actually named Isis Ra for the sun god Ra, and El for Elohim is Ra-El. But they must destroy Isis first. So the male principle, the sun god Apollo, Osiris, must dominate. And that's what we'll get into now. So hopefully now you can see the script being played out, Russia versus the U.S., all the FISA documents coming out, and Mueller and Russia and Democrats on the take, and Trump involved with Russia, 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 and then North Korea. Well, what's North Korea next to? Who defended during the Korean War? It's the Russians protected the North Koreans. So what do you think is going to happen next? Going to North Korea, Russian state, they got to protect them. All this convoluted United States, you've got both sides touching bases with Russia. Looks like they get their hands in the cookie jar is what they're going to play it up as. Stalin was handled by the Jesuits. Himmler in World War II was self-appointed Black Pope, as I said. Biden for Obama and Pence for Trump or Jesuits are all on the same team. They're playing us against us. So that leads us back to the United States, which must be destroyed as well in the final plan and the final solution. And you can see the pieces putting together. This is from an email I sent out. Turning U.S. into China manufacturers for the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They already got their banks set up. Countries to go into deep consumer debt load while U.S. must be re-educated. This is maybe what they're going to use all the closing down malls for, is re-education facilities. I don't know, but they're set up to do that. Blockchain is the new interconnectivity language. Well, look what just happened. Blockchain LLC is acquiring over 60,000 acres in Nevada, massive land purchase, $175 million to set up the world's second largest cryptocurrency. Why do they have to have that much room in manufacturing or whatever lands to set up a cryptocurrency? I have no idea, yet they're doing it. All right,
let's stop it there. So keep your eyes on Nevada. Blockchain, $175 million purchase of 60,000 acres. We know that the feds own probably 90-something percent of Nevada. So this is fascinating. We had the Bundy Ranch happen there, and Dirty Harry Reid, the Mormon gangster. And we know the LDS Church is big money launderers in Vegas and so forth in the state of Nevada. Interesting, Mitt Romney will be running for the Senate seat vacated by Orrin Hatch. Interesting stuff here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Sean, for calling in. That was a good conversation Sean and I had about the creeps. And we'll see if I'm here next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Everybody in the chat rooms, Hooley's blog.blogspot.com. Hooley always posts a show over on his site. It'll be up on Sean's site shortly, TCTA Unleashed. Thank you, Ken. Great job tonight. And we'll see you guys soon. Support the network.